Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio with your host Mikey Bones, Rob Humphrey, and we do not have Catch Malord in this room.
We do not.
We do, though, have a very special guest, and he's a returning guest on the show. We don't have a tremendous amount of those. Usually a lot of people don't come back. I couldn't imagine why. But we are joined from down under with our oi mate, Tim. What's going on, Tim Davis?
Oi. Hey guys, thanks so much for having me. And look, I'm not as good as Kat, but I'll do my best.
Hey man, you started the show off with an oi. Good invite.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be satisfied until I hear Rob do an oi.
No, I'm not gonna do it. I'll give you a big old pip pip cheerio.
That's Australian.
What is that? Is English?
That's English, yeah.
It's kind of the same though, right?
No.
I feel like it is. I feel like it's good enough.
They don't have spiders from the Godzilla movies over in England. They got them in Australia, dude. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, Tim, I wanted to ask you. I was talking about this Australian band on Killer Beats, and I have to imagine they're national heroes down there. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Are you familiar with them?
I know of them. I've never actually listened to their music.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. Yeah.
Are they? I know of them because of their name, because it's ridiculous, but...
Yeah, they're from Australia somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know anything about Australia other than you live there. That's about it.
Let's be honest. Rob's taste in everything is as bad as his taste in horror movies. His music taste is no different. So take it with a grain of salt.
I believe that.
Also, speaking of spiders, I was told by an Australian friend to use the term, we're not here to fuck spiders.
What?
Yeah.
That hit home with you, Tim?
Oh man, that's a term we use regularly. Yep.
The fuck does it mean?
It means we're not there to fuck spiders, dude. What do you mean? What does it mean? It's very clear.
Technically, it means we're not here to jerk off because spiders resemble your hand. But look at it as like we're not here to fuck spiders in literal sense.
Yeah.
Now, how often do you see, Tim, one of those ginormous spiders?
Not as much as you guys think. Maybe once a month.
Oh,
too much. That is too much. Yeah.
Still a lot.
Every time I think about moving to Australia, I think of those spiders. I'm like, eh, fuck it. I'm good here. I'll just burn with the rest of this country.
Probably about 2-3 weeks ago, I was at my real job. I'm a truck driver doing deliveries. And I was at the beach and really needed to use the toilet. Public restroom. Walked in there. There was only one toilet. So I sat down, did my business. And then when it came time to wipe, I turned around and where the toilet paper was, there was a massive huntsman spider staring at me.
Oh, so you walked around with shit on your ass all day.
No, I had no other option. I mean, yeah, it's either walk around with shit in my ass or reach for the toilet paper. So
did you wipe with the spider?
No, the whole time I was eyeing, like me and the spider just had perfect eye contact the whole time. I was talking to him and he was listening and he was a good boy. He didn't jump.
So. I've heard that they're not really dangerous. Is that true? Or are they dangerous? I don't fucking know. They look dangerous.
No, they're not. No, those big ones, like if they bite you, and that's very rare, you have to literally like try to fuck them for them to bite you.
And we're not here to fuck spiders, as we know. Exactly. That's right. And there's the term, Rob. Yep, there we go.
The saying makes sense now. All right. Yeah.
If they do bite you, it's a little bit worse than a bee sting.
Yeah.
That's for those spiders.
Right.
You got other spiders here that if they bite you, you're dead in 2 minutes. Okay.
I'm calling bullshit on that. That's how, like, Australians must be tough some bitches to have to deal with these things. I just Googled a huntsman spider. Fuck that. There's no way a normal American will get bit by that and not die. Just Australians are just tough, burly men, and they're used to get bit by a bear and go fucking back to work.
Yeah, I think so. But I will say, I always think that, but then I see pictures that Tim shares of like his life and it looks pretty damn good in Australia. I'll tell you that. He's always like like right by the beach and it's all nice and beautiful and everything.
Yeah, but you don't realize you have to fight through like four of these spiders and kangaroos and whatever the hell else is trying to kill you over there to get to the beach. They're just tough some bitches and that's their day, man. That's what I'm convinced of.
I'm not saying Australia is the greatest country in the world, but we have TikTok here. So
a cap cut too, god damn it. I'm really upset. Yeah. Fuck TikTok to death, literally. That's fine, but don't take away my cap cut, please, for the love of Jesus. All right. I don't know what to do. And God for VPNs. All right. Tim, thank you very much for joining us though, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. I'm always a little starstruck when we have Tim on because I've been listening to his show for a long time.
Yeah, Dummies of Horror.
Yeah.
Awesome horror. Any horror fan needs to go listen to that show right now.
They should. It's an excellent show. I love Tim's show. I've been listening to, I've been listening to since you had your first co-host, Tim.
Wow.
So that's
dark
a long
ages.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Dark
one
ages.
One of many.
Yeah. Even your wife quit the show.
Had some family members quit the show, Tim. It's not that bad. Don't let him exaggerate and make you feel bad. All right. That's what he does. He's a butthole. All right. We're going to get into Drink Roll Call, which I'm very excited about. We do have a listener mailbag that we're going to be getting to shortly. And then we're going to be getting into Tim's movie choice. Tim, you want to let the listeners read the damn title, but let them know what we're going to be dealing with.
We're going to be watching a movie about Norwegian black metal because Mikey Bones doesn't know music.
Right.
So I thought I'd educate him. And we're going to be watching the movie Lords of Chaos.
Yeah, I mean, we may have overstepped a little bit. Mikey Bones has trouble identifying Rolling Stones song, so.
True. I'll pick the shit out of a hip-hop song, though. Not gonna lie. Not gonna lie. Yeah, listeners, don't hold your breath for how educated I've become on the rock metal genre towards the end of this episode, but we will get into it later. A drink roll call, though. I am very excited. I have to send something in the chat. What are you guys drinking anything fun? Rob, what about you? You better not fuck me.
I got an old fashioned.
All right.
Well, I like them.
Yeah, it's better than that. Last week, he left me stiff.
I know. Last week, I had Diet Pepsi, but this week, I got an old fashioned. I'm going to have to make another one soon. So,
all right. Tim, what about you? Got anything fun?
I'm really letting the team down here. I've got a coffee and a bottle of water. I'm sorry. I just finished work about a couple of hours ago, so I just need to have that caffeine hit. So, okay. Nothing for me.
All right. Just sent a video in the chat. Tim, as homage to you, I am drinking Bundaberg root beer and ginger beer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, all the way from Australia, oi.
Wow. They sell that over there?
They do. Rob, what do you think about this?
Yeah, what is? I've never heard of that. Never heard. I can't see the video. It won't play.
Yeah, it's not playing for me either.
Son of a bitch.
It's like trying to get me to download it, and I don't trust you enough to download it.
What? Just download the goddamn thing. It's a video from my phone.
No, I've got it here. Yeah, wow. Okay.
Look at that.
They have that in right next to your masturbating hand.
Tim. Tim, I went out of my way to get Australian beer and root beer for you, and that's what you got to do to me.
Look, I'm sorry.
He's not lying. Your jerk off hand is right there.
It's an Australian film. I thought it was, you know. I'm like, look at me. I'm paying homage, and Tim's got to shove it up my ass quite literally in this.
That's what you do, too.
Son of a bitch. Leave my talk to me hand alone.
I'm sorry. No, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, all right. I sent it to you on Twitter.
No, I got it. I got it to work.
Oh, okay.
Is that a big drink in Australia? Bundersnatch, whatever it's
called. Bundaberg. So Bundaberg's a town in Australia, very far from me. And yeah, so that drink, that's not alcoholic, is it? The one you're drinking?
No.
Yeah, okay. Those can be found in the shopping centers here in Australia. Bundaberg is also a brand of rum here.
Oh.
And
all right. Now we're talking.
The rum is, I've had some messy nights with Bundaberg rum.
Is it like a white rum or is it spiced?
No, it's just a dark rum.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's potent. I don't fuck with it too much.
Okay, so I have a friend of ours of mine on the Discord. We play some DBD, talk horror stuff. It's actually fun. And I was asking, they're from Australia. They live there currently. I said, bro, I have a friend of ours that's coming on the show. He's an Aussie too. I want to have a drink to tribute him. Something to do. Like, tell me an Australian drink that I can. And they told me the Bundaberg rum. Couldn't find that, which would have been nice. So I see ginger beer. I've never had ginger beer before. I'm not a ginger beer kind of guy. I'm not even a beer kind of guy. I say it all the time on Drink Roll Call. So I seen the root beer as well. So I said, you know what? Obviously the root beer is not alcoholic. It said it on the thing when I was buying it on the app. So I said, I'm going to get both of them. Oi to Tim. We're going to do this right. We ain't here to fuck spiders, mate. So I went hard with it. And I tried the root beer and it's actually very good. And I'm not a huge root beer guy. This is really good. And after I'm done with that, I say, you know what? Let me try this ginger beer. I'll have one early. I was like, dude, I don't really like beer, but this shit's pretty fucking good.
Well, yeah, ginger beer is more like ginger ale. Like, it's not like beer, but
had no fucking idea.
What you do with ginger beer, what's good is you put vodka in it, you make yourself a Moscow Mule.
And that's what I did. Ooh. I'm drinking an Australian Moscow Mule.
There you go. So an Australian Mule.
That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a little lime juice and squeeze it in there, you're living.
I didn't know that. All right, I'm going to do that during the break. Yeah. I do have lime juice.
It's a Moscow Mule, and they are killer. Yeah. And then, look, last time I tried to pay tribute to Tim, and I got an oil can of Foster's, and he made fun of me for it. So. Yeah,
because that's not Australian.
It's Australian for beer. That's what they told us over here on the TV, and they don't lie.
The Australian most hated beer. But, Mikey, I'm very impressed. I feel honored right now. Thank you.
Right, I appreciate it. Even though, you know, you had to bring up the talk to me hand and disgrace my butthole. But that, well, neither here nor there. We'll put it behind us. But the point, I didn't know it was non-alcoholic. And as I was telling my friends, I was like, man, I don't taste any. These things might be dangerous. Like, I don't taste any liquor. They're like, it's a fucking ginger beer, you asshole. I'm like, oh, does that mean there's no liquor in it? All of them? They said, yeah. I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, what do you do in America when you want to get drunk? You put vodka in fucking anything. Mm. And I was talking to Vivi and, I need to go over Patreon stuff as well. All right, we're all over the place. But she said, just make a Moscow Mule. I said, holy shit, you're right. It's the same thing.
Yeah, put some vodka in there, ginger beer, and a little lime juice, if you got some lime. And
she didn't mention the lime.
It's a great drink. Well, she doesn't know how to make a good drink, apparently.
She's a little ditzy, I believe it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I have some vodka in there, and it's actually still to the Bundaberg. I hope I'm saying that's correct, Tim.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oi. So
it's probably more like Bundaberg.
Bundaberg. Oh, I can't say that. Tim can say that. I can say that.
You can't. You got to beep.
Shit. First one of 2025. Fuck me.
Yeah.
All right. But.
Oh, somebody else sent us the thing. This is changing topics, but I just remembered it. That we were supposed to ask you to say Nosferatu, Tim.
Oh, okay. Nosferatu.
Oh, that's not that bad. Yeah, I don't know what that thing was about.
Who said that? That's a butthole.
somebody sent a meme and they were like, never ask an Australian to say Nosferatu. So I was like, all right, well, fuck, of course we're going to ask him to say it. Yeah. I was expecting it to sound all funny or something, but it didn't.
All right. So that's what I did. I paid tribute. And I'll tell you, like I was saying, the ginger beer masked that. And I put a lot of vodka into some bitch and I shook it good. I don't taste it really. So we might be in trouble.
That's dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be Australian drunk, Rob.
You've opened up my mind. It's funny because next weekend is Australia Day here for us, which is like Independence Day. So I think I'm going to make that in honor of you.
Look at this, beautiful thing.
Yeah, going around.
Yeah. I could be the president of this country. Look at me bringing nations together.
I don't know if they have a president over there. I think they have a king or something.
I could be king. I could do that too.
Prime minister. Prime minister is just like a president, right?
Basically.
A different thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't ask me who it is because I have no clue.
I don't know who it is either, but I think you're doing better than us. Regardless.
I mean, he's not as funny as Trump, so whoever it is. Ours has changed like four times in the last 2 years, so I can't keep track.
Shit.
Yeah. They have elections that often, or they just boot motherfuckers out?
They lost the fight to the spider is what happened. They just have to keep going through leaders.
We'll go with that.
All right. Dude, I was so happy. And you know what's pissing me off? They have like these fancy little tops on these things. And I was going to have another root beer and the fucking broke the top. Like it's got this little latch you got to pull. And I was yanking that motherfucker. And the cap's still on, but that little fucker popped off. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's dangerous territory.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. So I might be down an Australian root beer, which is upsetting.
Just use your teeth.
I'm not Australian. Just because I drank, I need a lot more than just the one I had to be able to do Australian shit, Tim. All right. Okay, what else do we have to do? Oh, yeah, mailbag. 917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. You can send in a voicemail for the show. We'll play it and discuss it. Or you can send in a text message, and it'll be read by Ghostface. We do have comments from Twitter, Discord, but mostly from Patreon are also thrown in with the mailbag. Hang on, let me... Patreon.com/radio. If you would like to get in on the fun... We do have some new members of the Patreon. Bring this up at the beginning of the show, but we were talking about spiders and shit. Very important stuff. But shout out to Vivi last week who did join the Patreon. So just another shout out to her. Also shout out to Harley Quinn. I don't think that's her real name.
I don't think that's on her birth certificate either.
I don't think so. But she's in the Discord. She's been a very, very good member of the Discord community. Active, posting horror stuff, DVD stuff, all kinds of things.
Welcome to the Discord. Leave me alone.
Also, welcome to the Discord. A friend of mine, actually, who hopped in there and has also been involved in the community a lot on Discord and just in general, Leo. That is a dangerous.
Leo. Leo's my boy. But also, Leo, leave me alone.
Leo missed you. He was saying, talking about how he missed you last night.
Well, I'll be around at some point.
Do you want to hear the Leo button, though, Rob?
Yeah, I think we should hear the Leo button.
I don't know why it's so funny to me. And he's been wanting a button for so long. And I said, it's got to happen organically. It's got to be good enough for me to make a button. And I was playing Phasmophobia with him in the Discord. And I was explaining the game to someone. And they were new to it. So I was explaining the game. And he was in the house doing his ghost hunting thing. Had no idea that I'm trying to explain this game. And I thought that the timing and him using the radio to try and coax the ghost out was the funniest thing in the world. Here it goes. It won't stop the hunt, but it'll spin the ghost. Come on now,
I need all the dick you want.
Leo, ladies and gentlemen. The ghost hunted immediately after that, so you know. Said something about our ghost. But thank you very much to everybody joining the Patreon. Everybody else, everybody listening right now, $3 a month is the lowest tier. Support Indie Horror. Tim also, his show, Dummies of Horror, they have a Patreon as well. They're featured on ours. I believe we're featured on theirs. Support Indie Horror, goddammit, all the way around.
Agreed.
Especially Australia Day coming up. Have some sense.
Wow.
What?
Tim's co-host, Luffy, never, ever chats in our group chat. And he just sent a message.
What did it say?
What are you guys doing? I'm just on TikTok.
Wow. He's such an asshole.
Luffy's awesome.
I too enjoy when somebody can see, like, you know, chaos to spread, and that's when they decide to use anything. I mean, that's a hell of a move. I like them already. All right, so here is Ghostface with the mailbag. Did I do this right? I didn't even fucking do this right. All right, here we go.
Hello, listeners, and oi, Tim. Ghostface back with more messages from the mailbag. First up is Harley Quinn, commented on episode 5, Halloween episode. Old school, haha. Just adepted Laurie Strode again, this time on Steam.
Okay.
What?
Harley commented on episode 5 of this show. Right. We just mentioned Harley's a new patron. We appreciate it. It's weird because on Discord and even going into Twitter a little bit now, people know us more for our DVD stuff than the show, which is weird. So we're on episode 361.
Our community is divided along that weird line.
It is. Now it is recently.
It really started, I think a lot of it started with the Matthew Cote interviews.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we do have our regular listeners who have known us for the show and horror movies and the things we do. And now we're growing vastly with people who know us as the Dead by Daylight show.
Dude, there are times I've gotten tore up playing Dead by Daylight, like just targeted, tunneled, smacked on the hook, humped on the ground for no reason. Like the game just started. I'm like, what the fuck? And in endgame chat, they mentioned the channel. I'm like, you motherfucker. Like, why'd you do me like that? So yeah, it's become a weird thing, but it's also fun because Dead by Daylight, obviously, it's more of a gaming thing. It is a game, but it's so entrenched in the horror genre that it shares a lot. So, and we benefit from that with that kind of cross, whatever the fuck, technical stuff. I'm not a marketer. But yeah, Wally's listening to the show now, which is a great thing.
Episode 5, okay.
Episode 5, where apparently me and whoever the fuck I talked to.
I was going
to
say, me and Kat sound really different on those episodes.
Yeah, me and whoever I was talking about Halloween with apparently did that episode. And what Harley is talking about is apparently she adapted her Laurie Strode on Dead by Daylight on her Steam. So good for you, man. I mean, adepts are annoying and I try and stay away from them.
I don't know what that means.
It's just challenges. It's like trophy hunter kind of things. I've never been a gamer like that, but motherfucking Cat's a trophy hunter. They take that shit for real.
All right.
For real,
Good for you, Harley.
Yeah. All right. Ghostface, keep going.
Tid on last week's Gabba Mystery Corner image on Patreon. She writes,
God damn it. Okay. That's it. That's the whole fucking message.
All right. Well, okay.
We just went on about how we're getting this new audience and this crossover and all this stuff. Yeah, this is the shit I like them to see. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even remember which meme that was.
It was the fucking Little Caesars one.
Oh, yeah. That was gross.
Oh, it was awful. It was terrible. And all this girl had to see was she signs up for the Patreon and starts scrolling. It's like, oh, all this new content for the horror world that I'm about to get into. And she has to see that. I hope everybody's proud. All right. Jesus Christ.
Chris commented on last week's episode saying, grilled cheese toppings turned into a heck of a debate. Get Grandma Bones a Letterbox account and you can post her reviews there. Thank you, Rob, for the Danza updates. Very important. The ROBB is the real Snoop fan. Lastly, the fact that Slasher Radio Slashy Award winner Amber says I am deserving this year. I am ever thankful to her, Greg. Please give her a hug for me. But if I am denied this year, Mikey, Kat, and Rob should be scared of what I think was beyond feast. Has 2 terabytes in data.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you're denied this year, Chris, unfortunately it becomes a bit. And we know what that means.
It is all or nothing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Secondly, there was a lot there and I don't remember all of it, but I did for a while in high school try to get my nickname to catch on as Snoop Robbie Rob and it didn't work.
That's hysterical.
You know, you can't give yourself a nickname is what they say. And I could not.
Yeah. You tried to give yourself the nickname Thunderballs. That shit didn't work either.
Oh, Chris still calls me Thunderballs.
Chris, why? Yeah. Stop calling him Thunderballs. What the hell are you doing? All right. Oh, Tim, real quick.
Yeah.
kind of off topic, but kind of not. A grilled cheese, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of off topic.
Kind of off topic, but Chris brought it up. Yeah, there was a lot to talk. Chris, I think this spanned over like two episodes is what's mm-hmm. going on here. So Chris is kind of like just commenting on stuff. So if you haven't listened to us regularly, you don't understand. But if you have, you have. And that's just what it is. But Tim.
Yes.
Grilled cheese. If you add ham to that, it's still a grilled cheese, right? Just grilled cheese with ham.
Yeah, so I heard this conversation last week, and at first I was like, yeah, it's just still a grilled cheese, but it's got ham in it. You can add anything to a grilled cheese.
Anything.
But then Rob made a good point where you said that if you order a hamburger, it's just a hamburger, but if you order a hamburger with bacon, it's a hamburger, like a double bacon burger or whatever it is called. So Rob made a good point, but I'm going to still stick with it's a grilled cheese with ham.
No, right. It's a hot ham and cheese. There's a sandwich literally called a hot ham and cheese, and that's what you have made.
Okay, but even that's still, forget about just ham. Ham's just an example. What if I put bologna on it?
Then you're disgusting because bologna's gross. We talked about that last week too.
No, and I stand by, I think the same thing. Because if you, it's still a burger though. If you're adding cheese, if you're adding bacon, yes, it turns into a bacon cheeseburger or a cheeseburger, but it's still a burger at its core. So this is just a ham grilled cheese. Or yeah, bologna grilled cheese. It's still a grilled cheese.
It's a hot ham and cheese. It's a hot ham and cheese.
No, it's a grilled.
Grilled cheese. That's someone saying it's a sandwich.
Maybe it's a grilled hot ham and cheese, but it's still hot ham and cheese.
It's still grilled cheese, though. You're just adding a word in there.
No, it's different.
Son of a bitch. I had someone try and tell me it's a sandwich, and I was like, but the grilled cheese is a sandwich, though.
Yeah, it's of course it's a sandwich, but it's a hot ham and cheese sandwich.
I've heard panini thrown. Cressy was telling me that, Rob. It's a panini. It can't be a panini unless it's, you know, pressed like a panini. It's ridiculous.
Right, yeah, you got to have a panini press to make it a panini.
Yeah, a certain kind of bread. What like the sides of this thing and the argument that has been made has been absolutely insane. But I'm glad you're on the right side of things. And Rob, wrong at you.
Yeah, usual.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do everything backwards in Australia.
I mean, you're not wrong, but...
We're not here to fuck spiders, Rob. All right. All right. Last message.
Car last week's Patreon show, The Horror Tier Lists. She writes, in reference to putting Chucky at S tier, I do marketing and communications for a school district, and I went to take photos on Halloween of one of the elementary school's Halloween parades, kindergarten through second grade, and I was wearing a good guy's sweater. I also have red hair, so every single kid pretty much got excited when walking by me and would yell, oh my gosh, it's Chucky, or are you Chucky? Literally, little kids knew and were excited about him. There were a couple kiddos dressed as Ghostface and Michael Myers, too, but I was shocked at the amount of little kids who recognized Chucky so easily.
There you go, Rob. But hey,
good story. I mean, stay away from schools, though, you weirdo.
I believe she said she works at a school.
I don't believe her. And she just hangs around a school and says it's a job.
Why would you say? Carly has been nothing but good. We were just talking about how she has been a picture of health for this community and this Patreon. And this is what you're going to say. See, you did the same shit with Leah.
No, I did not. Leah got mad. All I said to Leah was, don't suck. That's all I said. And then she sucked and I called her on it.
It's kind of aggressive, though, to just come at somebody who just supported your platform. Son of a bitch. It's not the answer, but leave Lee alone and don't you start with Carly. Carly's been great.
All right, fine.
Got you back, Carly. We'll kick his ass. Don't worry about it.
But did I not want Chucky on S tier? Was that a thing?
I believe so. You were saying that he wasn't S tier, and I agree. Absolutely S tier on popularity alone. A lot of people who don't even watch horror, they know Chucky very well.
All right, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember. Oftentimes, I don't remember the things I say.
All right. Tim, what do you think? The tier list, like, you know, top tier, god tier of horror villains, is Chucky in there or no?
I think so. You make a good point that everyone knows who Chucky is. My personal list, he wouldn't be up there, but I think the majority of people, yeah, he would.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. It's subjective.
And also, I liked Carly a lot when she was siding with me on stuff, but come on.
The first time.
When we were talking about how bad Terrifier was, that was cool.
Unbelievable.
Once again, Rob's wrong.
Yeah, and Carly is too on that. That's not true. It's just not.
Those are not good movies. I'm sorry.
We're not going down that road. All right, so that's it for the damn mailbag. Painless for the most part. Chris threatened us, though. I don't want that to go overlooked as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of par for the course at this point.
Yeah, it is. Chris has been nice to me and let me off the hook a lot, so it kind of like snapped me a little PTSD from what he's done to us before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a really quick break, and we will be back with Tim's pick. I cannot wait to talk about this one. Lords of Chaos.
Yeah.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so my break was eventful, by the way. I found out that top, Tim, on my Australian root beer,
yep.
It didn't, it's my fault it broke. Apparently, I didn't read the thing, and the other two that I had, all I did was lift the thing, the latch up, and it popped up. I had to pull out and then lift up.
So, oh.
Yeah, so it was my fault. So I was wrestling around with this one in my kitchen and seen that and said, oh, shit, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's always the trick is to pull out and then lift up.
Pulling out is not as easy as it sounds.
Try to lift up before you pull out. It's a disaster.
Mm-hmm. So accidents happen. But then on top of it, twice now, I've done this. When I take the cap off, I spill the shit out of it because I jerk it. Pulling out and jerking it. Like when I the pull off of the cap. I jerk the bottom of it because I'm holding it in place and it's a little bit of a yank. This conversation's awful. But
what
yeah,
I'm thinking about drinks here.
Still doing sexy time with Rob. So yeah, I had to wipe down my counter. It was a mess, but I do have the root beer now as well. So I am full Australian. Oi cunt, spiders.
You are so close to becoming an honorary Australian the way you're speaking.
What more do I got to do? Do I have to beat one of those spiders down to get it?
Do that and say cunt about 100 times more per hour and you're basically there.
All right, I'm not touching one of those spiders and women will whoop my ass if I use that word too much here. So, see, this is why you guys are who you are. That's the difference here.
They just get away with it over there.
Yeah.
If I watch somebody whoop a spider that size, he can say whatever the fuck he wants.
Do the kids walk around saying cunt over there, Tim?
No.
God damn it.
Look, honestly, they have before. It's nothing I'm proud of.
Dude, no, I think that should be hilarious.
That's how we greet our friends in Australia. Just go up to them and go, oi, cunt. That is no word of a lie. That's how we greet our friends.
But they don't so they get in trouble like if they say it at school or something.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's not like a thing the kids do.
It's probably like fuck here, Rob. Like, you know, yeah, kids aren't supposed to say fuck, but they do it anyway. But it's not like the worst thing you've ever heard. You know, it's probably the same for that over there. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's also really funny how we're going to get bleeped for saying it, but Tim could just say it all day.
I love that.
Yeah. Hell of a deal. Rob, you got your first bleep of 2025, by the way.
No, I should be able to say it too.
You definitely cannot say it. You're not even close to being an honorary Australian like I am.
But I said pip pip cheerio.
That's not a son of a bitch.
I'm not Australian at all.
What if I kick Rob's ass for doing that shit, Tim? Does that get me any closer? This was
that makes you 100% Australian.
Rob, I'm fucking coming for you.
The Australian people would love me if I came to visit.
Yeah, if you walk around saying pip pip cheerio, I'm sure they'd be welcome with open arms.
Yeah, they'll love you.
And where are my balls?
All right. Lords of Chaos. Tim, you mentioned earlier about my music taste and everything else. Is that like the full-fledged reason why you picked this, or is there any more? Because we let Tim have free reign for the movie for the week. Why'd you pick this one?
Okay, no, that wasn't the reason I picked this movie. Okay. The reason I picked this movie is because Rob asked me if I wanted to come on the show. I said, of course, I love this show, but I had a really hard time choosing a movie. And like, and now I'm thinking about it, I should have chosen an Australian horror film. I did not even think of that. So I was going through my letterbox lists from previous years. I'm like, what was my number one for a few years ago? Lords of Chaos was my number one for the year it came out. And I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that again. That was my first choice. So I said to Rob, I'm like, have you guys done this? And Rob said that he hasn't seen it. So I'm like, perfect. Let's do it. Because I'm curious how you guys will take this movie, because you guys can go either way and I'd understand. So that's the reason I chose Lords of Chaos.
Okay. Rob, you want to start your opening thoughts?
Yeah. So I was familiar with this movie and I was familiar with the true story of the band and everything and them burning the churches in Norway and that stuff. And it was actually a movie that was sort of on my list to watch and I just kind of never got around to it. And then I kind of forgot about it. So I was glad that Tim suggested it, actually. And I was excited to sit down and watch it. And I, you know, there's a lot of different ways to talk about this movie. You can talk about it in relationship to what actually happened, or you can talk about it in relationship to like the band and their music and all that stuff. But I think when you set all that aside, you just talk about it as a movie. It was a really good movie.
Yes.
I watched this movie with a group of people. They're not as used to the horror genre as we are. And probably most of everybody listening to this right now. They had a little bit of a hard time at the beginning of this movie. There was a lot of cringing. There was a lot of all that stuff. Mm. And I was sitting there like, okay, it depends on what they do now. And that's the way I look at anything like that. Because the beginning of this movie is rough. And for anybody new to the show, we're going to spoil the shit out of this thing. So if you haven't seen it, go see it and maybe come back and finish this conversation up. Yeah, this is like crazy, very bloody and dark and twisted beginning to this movie. And like, that's fine. You know, like we're fans of the genre and we've seen a lot of it and the good, the bad, the in between and the gross and everything else. And we're just talking about Terrifier that even that. See, and that's the thing too, not to go off on a Terrifier kick, but there are so many different levels of gore. Terrifier doesn't even come close. As much more blood as they had in their movies, it doesn't even come close to this. Because of the tones and everything else is very different. So this is like a dark cat's hanging from the cat is not. I'm glad Cat didn't have to watch this one. She'd have been pissed.
Oh, yeah. She would not have liked this.
Not at all. She'd have been mad at Tim. She would have been saying cunt for a whole nother reason. She'd have been mad as hell. Tim made her watch this. But nonetheless, I wanted to see what they did with it, because if you're doing it just to do it, you're going to lose me and I'm going to roll my eyes at it because it's just annoying that you kind of did it for it comes off as it's done for shock value. And, you know, like it's just kind of, you know, I'm not a fan of it. I think they could have did more to kind of hit the tones that they were utilizing with the self-mutilization. What a word. But all in all, I feel like it had a purpose and it was fun. You know, like it was setting the tone to show you what type of people these people were. They didn't really get it back to it per se, but I could see the use and it was fine. And, you know, I'm big on stuff like that. Like if you're going to use things like that, it has to have a reason and don't do it for no fucking reason and just to have it in there for shock and all. So All in all, though, I wanted to get that out. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty good movie, man. I liked it. I'm here for it. It's not something I will watch often, though. I can tell you that.
It is a rough watch. And look, this is a true story about it's about the heavy metal or the black Norwegian black metal band called Mayhem. And if you have questions, I'll tell you what's real and what was fabricated for the movie. But probably about 80% of this movie actually did happen. So, and the reason I, because a lot of people say that, oh, this isn't a horror movie. And like in the traditional sense, it is not. There's no supernatural elements to this movie at all. While I class it horror is because of how at times rough it is to watch. There are certain scenes in this movie that still watching it last night, and I've watched this movie multiple times now, I still cringe at moments during this movie.
Yeah.
I think what makes it crosses that line into horror a lot of times with this movie is how real the violence and everything feels.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't too worried about that. Like when you suggested it, I think I said that, Tim, is that even a horror movie?
Yeah.
But I was more joking than anything else because I heard other horror podcasts talk about that. And we have done movies that walk that line. We did Zodiac, which isn't a horror movie at all. I just wanted to talk about Zodiac.
Hey, son of a bitch.
You know, Mikey made us watch. I think it was Mikey made us watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show, for God's sake, which is a musical comedy. So, you know, this one to me was a perfectly fine pick. And I do think watching it, like, I don't know that I would say, I don't know that I would say this is 100% a horror movie, but it definitely has horror feeling tones and themes. And whenever there's violence on the screen, it's just so real feeling. And like the guy's suicide towards the beginning of the movie is just absolutely disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing because it feels so real.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the people I was watching it with said that was, I forget the term they used, something along the lines of scariest scene they've ever seen in a horror.
Wow.
And I brought up some other things and they said no, because this felt real and it felt ominous and it, you know, it had that cloud over it, man. And bravo to this film for being able to give you that feeling, because you can. We've seen suicide scenes all the time in movies. And, you know, a lot of times it's, oh, okay, they just died, they committed. And you move on and there's no emotion attached to it. This, you could feel one way or another, whether you felt the, you know, the sadness of it, or you just felt freaked out by it, or it felt like uneasy. It made you feel something. And that is always the hardest thing for a movie to do, is to make its audience feel it. And dude, it was there for this.
Yeah, that scene to me just felt like heavy, like almost oppressive watching it. Like
probably into the movie too.
Yeah. So yeah, I think is a real made, a real well made film from that perspective. I'm fairly familiar with the true story only because I don't normally plug other shows on our show, but shout out to Last Podcast on the Left, who did a great 3-part series on this. Their research and everything that they do is just absolutely absurd.
Certain shows, it's okay. We're not making or breaking any of their advertising.
But they did a great 3-part series on this story a while back. And if you're interested in it, it's well worth the listen, because I mean, again, their research is crazy. You know, that's what they do for a living. They have a whole team of researchers, you know, and they really delve into the true story. And it did feel like Tim said, I mean, most of this, and I'm not an expert on it by any means. I listened to Last Podcast on the Left, for God's sake, that did not make me an expert on it, but it did feel like it was mostly accurate.
Mostly. It's crazy, man.
Mostly. And I'll give you the list of what was real and what was made for the movie later on this episode. But I knew of the story. I am a metalhead. This is the type of music I listen to. Not this subgenre. Black metal for me is a subgenre of heavy metal that I have dabbled in. I have listened to it. I'm not the biggest fan of it. But growing up, like if you're involved in heavy metal, if you're a fan of heavy metal, you know of Mayhem and you know about this story. And it's funny because the people, the heavy metal people that watch this movie, 9 times out of 10, they hate this movie because really? Because of how it isn't true to the source material. The thing is, this movie opens up with the tagline based on truth, lies, and what actually happened. And that's the thing, is that there are only two people that know really what happened at the right. final ending. And one of them's dead. The other one is now since released from jail and actually has his own YouTube channel, funny enough. And he says his story one way, but no one knows for sure.
Right.
So a lot of people, I've seen so many reviews from people that give it a 1 out of 10.
Wow. Based on that alone.
I don't understand why, because I think this is just looking at it as a movie for entertainment value. I think this is phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah, I think people who are really big fans of stuff have trouble looking at things as just a movie.
Yeah.
When they're based on a true story. And, you know, like the big thing, like I really liked the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yep.
Like I thought it was very good. It's a very good movie. I know it's not accurate. I just don't care.
Yeah.
But I know people who are big Queen fans who hate that movie because it's so inaccurate.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, fine. They're telling the story of the band. Yes, they move stuff around. Yes, they change things. But that's what you have to do when you make a movie. They have to tell the story of a band, sure, but they also have to create a dramatic arc to tell us, to tell the story in a cinematic way. And I'm fine with all of that.
Exactly.
I'm seeing a lot of complaints online from people about that new Dylan film, A Complete Unknown. I haven't seen that movie yet, so I have no opinion one way or another on it, but I'm seeing a lot of big Dylan fans who are upset about it because, you know, this didn't happen then. It happened, you know, and it's like, who cares? I mean, they've got to tell the story.
Yeah. There are other biopics, like Motley Crue's movie, The Dirt, which I am a huge Motley Crue fan. There are things in that movie that they didn't add, which I wish they did, but that didn't lessen the movie for me.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. Strangely enough, not to change the subject much, but for some reason, that Motley Crue movie that came out with fucking MGK in it, was that same one or was that different?
That's the same one.
Okay. I don't know why. This reminded me of that a lot.
I understand that. Yeah.
Visually. Yeah. You know, these guys were into some harder shit. Let's not get it twisted at all. But visually, it just reminded me of that at so many points. I don't know why.
I would say this one's good and the other one isn't. That's the biggest difference for me.
You're saying the dirt's not good.
I didn't like it.
Why?
It doesn't sound
easy anymore.
I didn't think any of their performances were very good. I didn't like it.
Ever since you said Stand By Me is not a good movie, nothing surprises me anymore.
Do not like that movie.
We should make a list, Tim. You and I both make separate lists of the shit that Rob thinks is bad that is good and just compare the list.
Can we? That sounds amazing.
Okay. Beautiful. The next time Tim is on, we have our Patreon show ready to go. Rob's bullshit. Finally, you get your bullshit on the Patreon.
No.
Yeah. But I don't know why it just reminded me of that. But yeah, that's the thing, man. There's so many movies based on shit that acts up. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And nobody's mad about that. You know, come on.
Yeah.
They're making movies above all else. And the fact that they can get that level of accuracy is saying something. Like, come on, man, what do you expect them to do? And I'm sure that, you know, some of the decisions are probably movie decisions for entertainment, but there might be ties to even all of it somewhere, you know, whether it's true or not, who knows? Either way, you're watching a fucking movie, man. If it's a documentary and they're making up shit, understood. Give them all the hell you want. It's a movie. And I agree to the point of you guys saying it's a beautiful, dude, I felt weird and I took a note. Let me see if I can find it and see exactly the wording I went through, because I deleted the word beautiful. And I was like, that doesn't seem like the word I should use for this movie, but it was. Honestly, if you look at this, there are points where it is a beautifully made movie. The cinematography, where that creepy molester dude in the park was grabbing on that guy and whatever, he stabbed him. And that scene of him laying there the lighting, the glow. It was a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
And there's several points like that.
Cinematically, it looks really good. It's also a very disturbing scene because of how long they sit there with it and how long they let it go. And that's another scene where the violence just feels ultra real.
Yeah. And it serves multiple purposes, man. Like, show off what you're doing well. Like, they knew that shit looked great, you know, like showed off and it lingers and it feels weird. Also, that whoever was playing that molester guy, like that, I don't know what it was. That was the best molester acting performance molester role I've ever seen in my life. This guy was the creepiest thing I've seen in a long time. Like, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it was just, dude, nothing took you. And it's a small role, you know, like it's important, but it's not like he's got a ton of camera time and he's a huge point to anything. Like, but the fact that even that, like the way he stared and the way his eyes widened at certain points, it was just super fucking weird. And there was nothing in this movie that took you out of it. And it was funny because he actually had like, I don't know, the way he did like this little quick jog thing. I was like, dude, that's somehow like a molester jog. Like, go. Like there was so much. The performances in this thing, top to bottom, were really, really good. And you put that with good, phenomenal cinematography, there's only so far a movie can fall.
Yeah. The funny thing is, this brings me to another point of why people don't like this movie. And it's another point that I just roll my eyes about. This band that the movie's based on, Mayhem, and everything surrounding it, it is set in Norway. And a lot of people are upset that the cast is American and speak in American English. To which I don't care because it makes it accessible for everyone to watch. I'm like, I don't care. Like, if it was subtitled, it wouldn't bother me, but it's not going to take me out of the movie if it's spoken in English. A lot of people are upset about that.
I'm happy it was in English. I don't like subtitles. Rob knows. I'll bitch about it a little bit. Like, I'm just not a huge fan of it.
But in English, I mean, if you're going to make a movie, you have to do that, or Americans aren't going to watch it. We'll just wait for the American remake.
I am Americans. And I'm not proud of it, man. Like, it's not something I'm bragging about or anything. It's just the way it is. I will enjoy it more. That's just the way it is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that. Hell, I watched fucking Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I don't know a fucking thing that they said, and I enjoyed that just fine. It's not like I can't enjoy it. It's just the odds are I'll enjoy it more. And you'll get the full effect out of me personally.
Yeah.
I'm a dumb American. That's the way it is. That's why I'm going around saying oi.
But no, I agree. The acting in this, and this is going to piss Rob off. The acting in this is phenomenal. I think the acting in this is miles better than the acting in Nosferatu.
No, get out of here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the acting in Nosferatu at times wasn't as great as people had given it to be. Lily Rose Depp wasn't as good as people had given it credit.
The acting in Nosferatu is different than this because it is a bit melodramatic, but that's what they were going for. And I think they were on point with it. Both movies are very good, though. I think the performances were both great in both movies. I don't have a problem with it. So, but I don't know that I would say this is better than that on a performance scale.
The only
or thing, a movie scale. I don't know if I would say this is better than Nosferatu.
Well, that's you.
But Rob's usually wrong. It's like when Twitter gives you that notification that like they'll fact check something. This is what we've got to do with Rob. Rob is usually wrong about movies.
The only thing that acting-wise that I didn't like was the narration from Rory Culkin.
It was sort of not needed.
Yeah.
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 And at times it was kind of cringy a little bit.
Yeah. I can see that. To me, you're right. It was kind of cringy at points. That didn't really cross my mind when it was happening as much as we don't really need this.
Yeah.
Like I get what's going on. I don't need narration for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely. And you feel like you're watching something real, and that, you know what? That's true. I didn't even think of that. And I guess that goes to the movie and everything else for kind of not letting that linger in my mind, you know? So. Yeah, that kind of took you out of it a little bit, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Actually, the other thing that really took me out of this movie was the character of Varg. His laugh is like nails on a chalkboard.
Oh, yeah. His laugh was, yeah. Luckily, he doesn't laugh a lot. The actor who played him, though, was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that performance. I mean, Rory Culkin was very good, too. Emery Cohn, I guess, is his name.
Yeah.
Looking to see if I knew him from anything else. It does not look like it.
There was,
but okay. He was very good.
There was, yeah, I'm trying to think of where I remember. Hang on. I meant to look up the cast of this. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And you know, it's funny. Signs, Scream 4, that's where I remember him from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was bothering me the whole movie. I'm like, where the fuck do I know this guy from? Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like he should be in more things.
He just won an award.
Yeah.
What did he win an award for? I'm not too sure.
That's a good question. There's a Skarsgård in this movie too.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the lesser known Skarsgårds, I guess.
More known.
I've never heard of, yeah, I don't recognize him. I just noticed his name in the credits. I was like, holy shit, Skarsgård. Those fuckers are everywhere.
Unfortunately.
It's funny because the director of this movie, Jonas Åkerlund, he was part of the black metal scene in the early 80s. He was the original drummer for the band Bathory from 1983 to 1984 and quit to start a career of filmmaking. So he was familiar with this black circle and all that stuff. So that was cool, I thought.
That is kind of interesting.
The whole thing is interesting, man. And I mean, obviously you see the beginning where it tells you, and I always roll my eyes on based on true story or whatever. I didn't look into it really at all. And obviously I'm not a fan of the genre. So I knew nothing about this. And now knowing that it is a true story and mostly true, very accurate, best way. Dude, like it's super interesting. Like I want to look into this more. You know, and it's just the tones of it and the almost satanic feeling that you get, you know, it's just, You know, one thing Tim was mentioning things that annoyed him. If you're going to blow up, if you're going to set stuff on fire, I don't know why people have to be so fucking extra and make a bomb.
Right.
Like that kind of annoyed me. And the balls of you for waiting for a building to explode and engulf in flames. And it doesn't, and you within seconds are so willing to walk into the motherfucker.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought that too, watching that scene. I was like, that is no way I'm going back in that fucking building. What made me kind of chuckle, I guess, about that is every time they would go to a church to burn it down, even when they didn't use the bombs, when they were pouring gasoline around and stuff, they would trash the place first. And I was like, why are you, that's not necessary. No one's going to know you did that because you're going to burn it down anyway. Just burn the place down. You're going to destroy it. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was just so annoyed by that. And I was like, dude, why the fuck? I thought that it was going to blow up when he walked in is what I thought was going to happen. And then obviously it didn't. And then I'm like, dude, the balls of you to pick that thing up. Like it's going to blow up. And he said, you really got to not give a fuck about your life to do that. And then homeboy's with. Just picks up a lighter and lights some paper. That's how you do it. That's how you should set shit on fire. It's very simple. You just need fire. That's kind of how it fires whole thing.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Yep. It's been working that way for centuries now.
Ex-California. No pun intended, but let's be honest. You know, like it's just, all you need is fire to spread fire. That's how it's this whole thing. But yeah. I don't know. I thought that was really weird. I'm like, man. I don't know. Like you just picture these dark, like I said, almost satanic motherfuckers walking around setting with arson, setting shit on fire. You don't picture them making a bomb. You just picture them going in, doing like some seance ritual and setting things ablaze. That's how you do it.
I don't know if the bomb was actually true. I couldn't actually find facts on that, but the church burnings are definitely real. They actually did. I know Varg used the church burning photo as an album cover. So that is actual true.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they burned a church and took a picture of it and made it a fucking album cover?
Yeah, hard to believe they got caught, huh?
Yeah, so they the church burnings were actual true, that they did that. And Burzum, which was Varg's project, he uses that album cover.
Yeah, these are not exactly criminal masterminds that we're dealing with here.
No, and this is the thing, like in the movie it depicts them as like these Satan worship people.
Yeah.
But in actual life, they were just 19-year-old kids that thought they were invincible, and thought they were just trying to one up each other, just saying, I'm the most metals person in the world, not more metals than you, all this stuff. And in actual reality, they're just kids.
Oh, right. When Tim does accents. it's funny because when you watch the movie, I was feeling that a little bit. Like, I was like, all right, these are just dumbass kids. Like, they're so stupid. And then, of course, it really hits home is the fact that they actually, as dumb as they were, might have gotten away with this if Varg hadn't insisted on going to the press initially.
Yeah, and it's time. You know, yeah, they probably would have. Now you don't get away with shit.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah. Right. Now you can't do nothing.
Yeah, but they probably got. But you know what? That kind of. And again, maybe that's more so for the entertainment factor of it. You know, the whole kind of demonic thing that they try and put behind, that tint that they try and imply to it. But I don't know, man. There's something about, like, that is a scary thought. You know, like, that they're just out here doing this for fun. Like, that's the craziest part. You know, like, there's not even, like, this being behind it that they've been, you know, sucked into. Like, they're just out here doing this shit. And the balls to put it on an album cover. Wow.
I think they genuinely believed that they were Satan worshippers and what they would do. Like, they were against the church and all that stuff. Right. So I think it was more than just fun. But yeah, there was no like supernatural force getting them to do it. There was nothing like that. They were just dumb teenagers that think they were doing the cool thing.
And I don't know how true this is, Tim, but the guy played by Rory Culkin, whose name I don't remember, he had some dumbass name.
Euronymous
was a dumbass name.
Yeah, he seemed to be, at least towards the end of the movie, he seemed to, it was like to him, it was like, this is a way for us to build up the mythology of this band. It was almost like a marketing tool for him.
Yes.
Right. And it was like Varg was this guy who was like this true believer in the cause and couldn't be controlled because of that.
Yep.
I don't know how true that is or not. That's just sort of what I took away from watching the movie. And Rory Culkin's character had a lot more to lose because he had really built something. He had built not only this band, and I don't know how popular the band was at the time. I'd never heard of them until all this happened. I feel like these guys are much more famous for these crimes they committed than they are for any music they ever made. But he had built this band. He had a record label that seemed to lose money hand over fist, but whatever. He had created a record label. He had a record store. Like, he was building stuff and using this as sort of a launching point for that and a way to, almost as a weird sort of promotional or marketing tool. And the other guy was just, he just wanted to see the world burn.
Yeah, so that is all true. But at the end, when Rory Culkin's character, whose name is Euronymous, when he was starting to get out of it, when he was saying this is too much, that's not true. He was still very into all of that. And the plans when Varg was planning to burn down the biggest cathedral and Euronymous was saying, no, we shouldn't do that, that's not true. Both Varg and Euronymous were planning to burn down the biggest cathedral. And that's around the time where the murder happened, and that never ended up coming true. There's so much to talk about. The band Mayhem were very popular and, funny enough, still alive today. They actually toured Australia a couple months ago. So the band's still going, which is crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot. And that's the thing, like, it baffles me that everyone's like, oh, they didn't get it right. And I'm like, but they did. They got so much of it right.
Right.
And like, I can, like, if you have questions, hit me and I'll tell you what's true and what's not true. But the majority of this movie and like the grotesque scenes that's all real. That actually happened.
The most staggering thing to me in the movie is such a small point that's made, but did they really not play concerts?
They did. They did play concerts. I don't think they did as much as, like, say, a Metallica or anything like that.
Because they were talking in the movie, they were like, oh, we don't do concerts. And we never really saw any concerts, like them playing any concerts, which was kind of a disappointment, to be honest with you. If you're making a movie about a band, I want to see them play. I want to hear their music. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? But so that was kind of weird. And also, that's how bands like make money, right? Like,
especially around that time too. There was no, there was no TikTok. I mean, there's still no TikTok, but
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this TikTok is you speak of. None of these jokes are going to hit, by the way, if it gets reinstated between now and the rest of this episode.
I'm living in the now. But the concert footage we did see in this movie of when the character of, or the person dead was there slicing himself open, that all happened, but they skipped. They did concerts prior to that. That was not their first concert. They did concerts prior to that with an original singer. So they skimmed over that whole part. So yeah, they did do concerts.
Yeah, it just seemed weird to me. And by the way, if I pick up somebody at the airport I don't know and they make me pull over so they can look at roadkill, I'm turning around. That fucker's going right back to the airport or where the fuck he came from.
Yeah. He, by all accounts from the other members of the band who are still alive, he was a very strange person. His nickname was Dead. He was a very strange person. And all of that stuff about him, how he used to breathe into bags of dead animals and stuff, that's all real. So he was
clearly had mental health issues. I mean, you know, it's just, we didn't know about that shit then, or, you know, didn't care.
Yeah, that's right. But the movie depicts that Euronymous and Dead were friends. In actual life, they really got on each other's nerves. And at the end, just before Dead killed himself, they weren't friends at all. Hellhammer, who is the drummer of Mayhem, actually recorded an incident where Dead went outside to sleep in the woods because Euronymous was playing synthesizer music. And there was another scene where apparently Dead once stabbed Euronymous with a knife. So the movie makes it sound like they're actual friends, but in real life, they weren't.
Imagine hating synthesizer that much. That guy must have hated John Carpenter film.
Oh, yeah. I think he just hated everything. Oh, and to Cat right now, the whole cat killing and all that stuff, that isn't actually true. Apparently, Dead did hate cats and did try to kill cats, but he could never catch them. So the scene where the cat is hanging from the roof, that's not actual true.
That's just artistic license. That's all that is, Cat. Don't worry about it.
Basically, yeah. Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah. See, that's honestly, I was going to ask you about that, but I was like, man, that's got to be real. That seems like some shit these motherfuckers would do. It's a ballsy thing to do.
It is. And once again, everything I tell you that's true, I wasn't there. I wasn't alive at this time. This is all just stuff that I've learned and from interviews with the people that were there. So whatever I say is true, may not be 100% true. This is just what I've researched. They did say that Dead used to sleep with dead crows under his pillow. So that's all true.
Goddamn.
You just said you weren't alive at this time?
I wasn't. Actually, I was. I wasn't alive when Mayhem started, which was the early 80s.
Jesus Christ, I was. Holy shit, I'm old. The oldest man alive, I swear to God.
But let's talk about the suicide scene where Dead blows himself off.
Sure, that'll cheer everybody up.
Yeah. You know what's so hard to watch about that scene? For me, anyway, it's when his dad calls him while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. There's so much to it. And yeah, that was fucking crazy. Like, dude. Do a thing. How dark and far gone do you gotta be where that doesn't even snap you out for a second, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even watching that scene and everything he did in that suicide is actually true. He did slice his wrists, he did slice his own neck, and then he did shoot himself in the head. That is all true.
Jesus.
The way it's shown on screen is so hard to watch because there's absolutely no emotion while he's doing it.
None.
And the part where he's cutting his wrists, really, yeah, I clenched the lounge while watching that scene.
Dude, it was heavy, man. It was heavy. And like I said earlier, you see a lot of suicide scenes in horror, you know, fairly off. Like it happens. It's something that happens. And they sometimes you just breeze over them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how is there nothing you can make us feel with scenes like that sometimes, you know? And the fact that they were able to do what they did, I didn't even argue. Like when I forget who, somebody said it earlier, like, I was like, man, at first I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then when they explained it, I'm like, man, can't argue. Like, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it, especially knowing it really fucking happened. Like, that is so deep. Like, you, to do all that to yourself, one's enough. You know, like, geez, man, to do all three is like, damn, dude. It's such a message. It's so heavy. That was crazy.
It was. Here's what's fucking crazy. The scene where Euronymous finds dead, and then goes to buy a camera, comes back and takes a photo. That is 100% true. And this is the crazy part. They did use that as an album cover. The album's called Dawn of the Black Hearts. You can search up the picture on Google. Just search up Mayhem album cover and you will see the picture. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Yeah. And the part where he takes fragments of his skull, no one knows 100% truth to that, but from the remaining Mayhem band members, they say that that's all true, that they used to wear necklaces of dead skull around their neck.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, so I think it's a horror movie.
And, you know, and there's a lot of things, like Zodiac's a decent example. Just movies that are about killings and you're like, you can kind of give it the pass. Dude, this thing, just shit that happens alone. How is it not a horror movie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the finale of the movie where Varg stabs Euronymous to death is one of the toughest scenes I've ever had to watch.
Oh, that is tough because it goes on for so long.
And how, like, honestly, how real is it? Like,
yeah.
And like me and the wife were watching a movie called The Alien Dead from 1980 a couple of nights ago, which is not a good movie. I don't recommend it at all. But there's a scene.
Devouring the 80s?
Yes. Yes. Coming back. But there's a scene where a creature puts his hands around a girl's throat and she's dead straight away. And I laughed at that. And I'm watching this movie where he's stabbed multiple times and I'm like, that's more accurate because one stab isn't just going to kill you unless it's like in the head.
Right.
Right.
But yes, this whole stabbing scene is more accurate than really any stabbing scene I've seen on cinema.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, just watching him try to get away and everything, it's like heartbreaking at the same time because you're just watching him try to, you know, he's not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the true story of that stabbing scene, if you want me to tell you, he was stabbed 23 times, 16 times in the back, 5 times in the neck, and twice in the head. Varg, who, as I said before, has his own YouTube channel and is very open to discussing it, he has his own recollection of what actually happened and claims that Euronymous attacked him first. And this sticking to that story, which is why a lot of people are like, that's not actually how it happened, but how do you know? But yeah, the whole thing happened. Varg was sentenced to 21 years in prison, which apparently is the maximum sentence in Norway. Yeah. And that's for both murder and church arson. And he was released from prison in 2009.
Yeah. If that had happened in America, Mikey, he'd be dead. He'd be just, that's the end of it. Right? Like life in prison, you're never getting out.
Yeah.
And that was something. And this is a small complaint, but one complaint that I did have about this movie was we didn't get the text at the end to tell us what happened to these people.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Actually. So I had to go Google that because I was curious, like, what did this guy go to prison? Like, what happened to? And I fully expected him because, again, I live in America where, you know, the longest sentence you can get here is forever. So
multiple forever at that. Yeah. You get like five sentences of forever.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's got to still be in prison. And it said 21 years. And I was like, are you serious? And yeah, I read that in Norway, apparently that is the maximum sentence you can get.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how things work in Australia, but here, forever.
No, I believe we're kind of like you guys. I think, yeah, if you do something like that, you're away forever.
And if it's real bad, we'll kill you.
In some states. In Australia, if it's real bad, they lock you in a room with a couple of spiders and whatever happens. If you come out alive, you're the new prime minister, apparently. You know, that's one thing that probably my last note on it, because honestly, like I didn't take a ton of notes. Like I did have some, but because you're just sitting there watching this shit, man. Like you need to, like
you're engrossed by it.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I wish we would have gotten was a little bit more of that. Like towards the end, you see that little interrogation scene. I wish we got more of that. That would have been nice. Yes. I don't know why. It looked creepy. The angles they used, like, I don't know. The scene just looked really good. And I was like, damn, dude, I kind of want to just see, because interrogation scenes are always crazy. Even in the Dahmer thing, you know, when they had that part of the series, because it's usually just honesty. Like it's over, it's done. A lot of times people like that are kind of relieved it's done. You know, and it's just everything out on the table and they're completely honest and almost kind of bragging, which is a little sadistic, you know, and it's just something that is compelling as fuck about it. And I wish we would have got more of that.
Yeah, I will say, I don't say this often about movies, and especially ones that clock in at just right at 2 hours or just under. Mm-hmm. This one could have been longer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And I don't. And by the way, and when I saw it's like, I don't know what the runtime is exactly. It's like 1:58 or something like that. Mm-hmm. When I saw that runtime, I kind of was like, oh, God. But this thing moves along. Like there are no pacing issues. I was never bored. I never checked the runtime to see how much longer I had. And I do believe they could have added an additional 20, maybe even 30 minutes to this thing, and it wouldn't have mattered to me.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I always say shit needs to be shorter. Like I don't want a long movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that I'm here for it.
Yeah. How'd you guys go with the music that they were playing?
I like some of it. It's just not my kind of music.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just not my metal is I listen to Metallica every once in a while. That's about it. Maybe if I'm feeling real, real metal, I'll throw on some Megadeth, you know? But I don't go that far. Although watching the movie, I was like, maybe I should sell those Metallica tickets. This is what happened to these people who made this music. I don't need it.
I said, I don't need it. Yeah, that's not my genre. I call it burp metal because it sounds like some loud ass burps sometimes that are just like amplified. I'm not a big fan. I did not have a good time with a lot of the music that was in here. But again, that's someone who's not like, I don't even really listen to rock music often, let alone this, you know, very niche
of music. Yeah, this is going from the extreme, like to the extreme. Even black metal, like I don't listen to it regularly. And if I do, it's rare. This type, like Mayhem, I like one of their songs only. And it's the song that's played at the end credits. They're not a band I follow. So let's say that.
Yeah, it's not really for me. I mean, I was like, all right, well, you know, it's a good thing you burned down churches and killed each other because this music sucks. At least people know who you are now.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just mention this. The girlfriend that Euronymous had, that blonde girl, she never existed. That was Euronymous never had a girlfriend.
Yeah, I think I pulled that up and I did not pull it up in trivia. She's that actress, by the way. She's a musician and she has some really good stuff.
Really?
Yeah,
she has an nice chest.
She does. Nice or something too. Like that. She's put out.
I know that name. You know,
yeah, she's put out a couple of albums, I think, and I really liked one of them. She put out I really liked, and now I can't remember the name of it. It's been a long time, but yeah, she's got some decent stuff.
Oh, she was in the Green Inferno.
Oh wow, yeah, I don't remember seeing her in that.
No, neither.
I kind of like that movie. I know a lot of people don't, but
on that note, though,
Nighttime My Time is the name of the album that she released, which, by the way, she's just topless on the cover.
Hell of a deal.
Okay. Yeah.
What's the name of the cover? Just for research purposes.
Nighttime My Time.
Cool. Thank you.
This is once again a moment where Tim's wife is going to come in and he's not going to be allowed to talk to Rob anymore. But kind of on that note, there was a lot of man ass in this thing too, which they weren't shy about at all.
Yeah.
But the fucking scenes, they kind of took you out of nowhere, man. They were just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They cut quick though, didn't they?
They did. And I wish I had more of it, man, because they were doing some nice stuff in those. Cinematography was great. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Again,
it was just in and out real quick. Rob just wants to add extended sex scene. But all right, do you guys want to move into facts and whatnot?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. I couldn't find a budget for this thing anywhere, but I can tell you the worldwide gross was $365,000.
Hmm.
Okay. I feel like maybe they didn't make their money back. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a hard movie to watch, man.
Yeah. Sad to report, there is no Danza in this film.
Son of a bitch. What would make you think Tony Danza had anything to do with this fucking movie of all?
It's not Tony Danza. It's an actor playing a character with the same name. And there was no actor named Euronymous who was in this film.
You found one movie that had this and you just won't stop.
Yeah, well, we'll keep searching. They're out there, Mikey. I know they are.
There's going to be a movie that I like a lot, Tim, that's going to have a Danza thing, and it's going to drive me crazy.
Euronymous is seen smoking cigarettes throughout the film. However, he was a non-smoker.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's important to not smoke, kids.
I agree.
The director, what'd you say his name was? Jonas Åkerlund? Is that how you say it, Tim?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, he stated in a 2018 interview that he used little black metal music in the movie, in part because it's kind of painful to listen to black metal music if you're not used to it or you don't love it.
That's very true.
That is true.
I can tell you. Yeah. Sure.
Varg has claimed that he was portrayed as a power-hungry lunatic in this movie and that this is a deliberate misrepresentation based in part on the cultural misunderstanding of his passion for role-playing games in the 90s.
So, a little weird, but all right.
Yeah, blame it on Dungeons and Dragons. Although not shown in the movie, the concert that was supposed to be Mayhem's first ended with Dead being rushed to the hospital due to the deep cuts he inflicted upon himself. And the audio of that concert can be heard on Dawn of the Black Hearts, which was released as a bootleg.
That's the album cover with his suicide.
And finally, Vargas claimed that he never had a vest with band patches, never liked the Scorpions, never drank chocolate milk at any point from 1991 to 1994, never punched a guy at a bar, never joked about putting all death metal bands in gas chambers, never has degenerate sex, and never was a vegan.
Okay.
But it is true that he was a non-drinker.
I don't believe that. He was out there fucking. I don't want to hear it.
And he definitely had a Scorpions patch. He just doesn't want to cop to it now. So that is facts for Lords of Chaos.
Okay. So now comes the time to give this sumbitch a Portnoy score. Rob, do you have
we always have refer to these as the Rob scores now, Tim?
No, we don't. You really want my scores for movies to be labeled as a Rob? Is that what you really want?
I'm just saying, Kelly's the one who presented it and she's smart.
She is very smart, but no, we should not be doing that. All right. Do you have yours ready and locked and loaded, Rob? Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I think that this movie actually had a pretty daunting task because I think this is a fascinating story. And I think it's interesting. It's an interesting story for people who aren't even into this genre of music, which is, I'm guessing, most of the world. But it had to try and present this in an interesting way. And I think they nailed that. I think it looks great. I think the performances were great. Again, it's not often that I say a movie that's almost 2 hours long could have been longer, but this one I would have happily watched 2.5 hours of this story if they could keep up that quality throughout. I gave it an 8.6.
God damn.
Wow.
Crikey.
Chris, okay.
Oh, Tim, do you have your score ready?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right.
I'm assuming I'm going to be the highest for this movie, simply because this movie just, it speaks to me. This is very much my thing. At the start of the movie, we see many
parties that they had. And that was me as a kid. I did everything that they did. Like just those raging house parties it was my childhood. So watching this, I was just reminded about the good times in my life. So the movie speaks to me being in that culture of heavy metal. I loved that for just watching it. I loved it. I love this movie, man. I can't get enough of it. I watch it almost yearly. Watching it this time, there are some things that knocked it down for me. As I said before, the narration and Varg's hideous laugh. With that being said, I'm giving this a 9.3. I love this movie. Yeah, I really like
it. Wow.
Okay.
And also, at an 8.6, I was just looking at my Letterbox list. It moves it up to my number 8 movie of 2018. So it's in the top 10 for the year.
Wow.
What was your number 1 of 2018?
Suspiria remake.
Oh, okay.
All right. In order for this to not currently be Slasher Radio approved, because we do have 3 scores right now, I'd have to give it a 4.4 or lower. And for a movie that Tim's a sick bastard. He's watched this every year. I cannot watch this movie once a year because it's a very hard watch. There's a lot of tense, you know, feeling moments, you know, like I don't even know the words for it, man. Like this thing just made you feel shit. And I'm not going to watch that very often. But I cannot ignore, even take all that shit out, that the cinematography, the performances, the fact that they were able to go out of their way the way they did to have such a high accuracy to things that actually happened. I can't, like I said earlier, there's only so far it can drop, you know, and I'm going to give this movie a 7. I really want to give it an 8. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at a 7.9. And the reason it dropped the little bit that it did, because I was probably closer to Rob, a little lower. It's just hard to watch, you know, like, and the music too. Like if I got to sit and listen to that music for a long period of time, it's going to do something to me, you know? So it just had a lot of aspects that I personally don't like, but I'm still able to look at it for everything that they did positively. And I think that's a really good score for, you know, something jam packed with a lot of shit I don't like, you know?
Yeah. Well, going in, I honestly expected this to be another Misery review where you guys take a really, really great movie and shit all over it.
Damn. I didn't shit all over it.
Tim was very upset about our Misery episode.
A lot of people. Yeah. Misery is a 10 out of 10. It's a fucking phenomenal movie. What are you guys doing?
So boring.
But I expected you guys to not enjoy this movie as much as you did. So I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Enjoy, like, the main goal of a movie is to enjoy it, to make the viewer enjoy it. You know, like, that's obviously the main goal. But, man, it's hard to enjoy this. You know, like, in the word enjoy, the sense of the word, you know, you can appreciate a lot and you can be entertained by a lot, but that you enjoy. I mean, you know, you enjoy losing weight. You don't have fucking fun doing it. You know, you hate the process, you know? So, yeah, there's a lot of shit in here that I don't like. The music, and that's a big part of the movie, obviously. And I got to listen to that shit. The uneasy moments, and it was chock full of them that you don't sit and enjoy watching, but you can sit afterwards and go, wow, man, they made you really feel like you were living that moment and all these things. So, yeah, 7.9, I feel solid score. And I'm intrigued in finding out more shit about the story.
I think Tim made up for the Lost Boys pick that he had last time.
Oh, shit.
That's fire. That's a perfect 10 out of 10.
And this is unfortunate that the score that this thing lands on is Rob's score, fucking 8.6.
Look at that. See?
Wow.
I always get it right.
God damn it.
So that's approved, yeah?
Yes, that is Slasher Radio approved.
By a margin. 7.5's approval. This thing sails over that.
I'd love to know Kat's opinion on this movie.
I would too. We'll see if she's seen it. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm telling you right now, the dead cat thing is, she's really going to be mad.
Well, that wasn't true to the story, so that might make her a little happier.
No, she won't care. She had to see it. So I'm sure.
She got mad at me because I had her. I suggested that Flanagan series, what was it, Midnight Mass or whatever?
Yeah.
Because there are like 1,000 dead cats in the last or in the first episode.
She had to sit there and be like, this motherfucker did this on purpose. Yeah, I don't like that shit either, but I'm a huge animal lover. And I was like, come on. But even honestly, even that, I was like, dude, there's a reason for this. So, yeah, you know, you can kind of understand a little bit.
Yeah.
But Tim, honestly, man, hell of a fucking pick. I'm not going to lie. Like, this thing was crazy off the wall. It was sick. It was twisted. It was entertaining. It was very well made. And it's very intriguing on top of everything else.
I'm happy to hear that.
Very good.
I was scared coming with this pick because I thought you guys might grill me and say, this isn't a horror movie. What are you fucking thinking? But I'm really happy that you guys loved it.
Did Luffy like this movie?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I don't think he liked it as much as me. I don't think it was his number one of that year, but he did enjoy it. He's very much like me. He likes this type of music too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I can trust you to pick movies, but not music.
Well, I've never heard of Fish. So, yeah.
Don't worry, Tim. I can't fucking trust him to pick me the one. All right. Time to get up out of here then. I was going to give the phone number again. Dude, honestly, I was sitting here while Rob was going through the reviews and I had the root beer in one hand and the beer concoction, the Australian mule in the other. I was double fisting Australians. Just, you know, I've never felt more like a man in my life. I could fuck a spider up right now. So I'm feeling pretty good. Patreon.com/radio. Check out the Patreon. Tier starting is $3 a month. There are tiers where you get an extra show every week. You get before, after, during nonsense that did not make the show. All kinds of other shit. You head over to the Patreon, support the show. Thank you to everyone who signed up for the Patreon, the newer members. Thank you very much. Twitter, YouTube, not TikTok. Ha ha, losers.
unless it's back.
Yeah, unless it's back and we're on there for now. But it's fucking going, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. And whatever else. Blue Sky, Twitter, whatever. @radio. And I'm at Mikey's Dead. You can follow me if you want. You can leave me alone if you want. I prefer either one. Rob, what about you?
I am on Blue Sky @RadioRob123. You can listen to my other show, the Nick Fucking Woo Cage Cast. That's Nick F and Woo Cage Cast in your podcast players. We just released an episode on some movie and we're going to be covering another one. We're in that really bad period of Nick Cage and I don't remember what these things are called.
Yeah, by the way, I listen to the Nick F and Woo Cage Cast as I do every week.
What was the movie called? Do you remember?
No. I don't. I remember the episode, though. I listened to the whole damn thing, beginning to end, especially the end where you pointed out that it was unfortunate that I am here on this show. Why is it unfortunate? I'm around.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can clip it and play it on the mailbag next week. I'll send to Ghostface.
I feel like you misheard.
I can tell you right now, I did not. I heard it finally, and I even said, son of a bitch, out loud when I listened to it. It was rude.
Doesn't sound like me.
So yeah, I did it again. You have that son of a bitch effect on me. Timmy pisses me off and I got to regroup. I'm sorry. Tim, thank you very much. Yeah, like you deal with it. It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for hopping on with us, man. It is always a blast. You are a total gentleman and I thoroughly enjoy when you come on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I love being on this show. It's so much fun. I love being a listener of the show. You guys do a great show. So really appreciate it. And come to Australia. You're always welcome, Mikey.
Oi. Me. Yeah. Oi. That's what you
get. We'd have so much fun if I came to Australia. Are you kidding me? We could run around on the beach in our Speedos.
In our Crocs.
That's right. Speedos and Crocs. It'd be great.
Oh, God. Rob. I've had enough between the Patreon show with the Swiss cheese and this. You in my mind is just dick and balls everywhere, and I don't need this in my life, okay? Tell everybody where they can find you, Tim.
You can find me. I'm the host of a podcast called The Dummies of Horror. We are the stupidest horror podcast on the internet. We're everywhere. Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. Find us there if you like my accent. If not, I understand.
That's a hell of a word, because like if you don't do it now, it's like you don't like his accent. There's no way you don't like his fucking accent. So
that's right.
Yeah.
I think if you don't do it, it makes you racist now.
Yeah, pieces of shit.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We will be back next week. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best with Slasher Radio Podcast.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.